We are once again in the book of Psalms, number 119, and tonight we will be in verses 17 through 24. Beginning in verse 17, let's read these verses and then we'll begin to look at them on an individual basis. In verse 17 we read, "Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth, hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me the reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do give you praise tonight, and we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for this portion of Scripture. My prayer tonight is, Lord, that you would use me and that you would fill me with your Spirit and that you would guide me and as I speak on these verses, Lord, I just pray that you would reveal to me your wisdom, and Lord, that you would open the hearts of our people tonight, that we might rejoice in your knowledge, and Lord, that we might grow in your grace. We give you praise tonight for this psalm and for this portion of the psalm, and we give you all of the glory in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Well, this will be our third week in this psalm, and as we have mentioned, there are eight verses for each of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And tonight we are on the third letter, and the theme of this psalm in its entirety is the Word of God. And tonight we're going to be looking at something that we have been told many, many times as we read through the Word of God and as we attend church and as we sit under teaching. We hear consistently that we need to have daily devotions. It's one of those things that we hear so many times that in most cases we simply just dismiss it. And I don't know about you, but it seems to me that with the advent of technology today and with the amount of inventions that are supposed to be making our lives easier and less complex, we have less time to enjoy today than any other generation before us. We have more gadgets and more things, but we have less time. And one of the fallouts of having less time is that we spend less time in the Word of God. And as Christians, we know we should. It isn't that we don't know these things. These things are very common to Christians. We know we need to be in the Word of God. It's finding the time and committing ourselves to the time to do it. And if there's a portion of Scripture in your Bible that will deal with the necessity of daily devotions, it's this portion of Scripture right here. And it is extremely important. As we look at verse 17, it says, "Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word." The word bountifully means to open up the wisdom of. So, there are four things that these eight verses are going to reveal to us about our Christian walk. There are four things that every Christian is a part of. And the first one is found in verse 17. We are servants. Christians are servants. Deal bountifully. Open your word and the wisdom of your word to your servant, that I may live and keep thy word. We are all servants tonight. Whether we are good servants or bad servants is pretty much up to us, but we are servants. And the psalmist here is dealing with the fact that as a servant, he knows how important it is to know what the wishes of the master are. And he said, "I need to know. I want you to reveal to me in all of your wisdom. I want to be opened up to and I want to be given bountifully from your word so that I can be a good servant, so that I may live and keep thy word." There is no question that one of the most difficult things to hear when you are sitting in a doctor's office. One of the most difficult things to live through is to sit down with your doctor after having tests and have that doctor look at you and say, "This is serious. As a matter of fact, it's terminal. You're dying." However, there is one thing you can do. Now, I'm sure that if you were sitting in a doctor's office and you heard the doctor say there is one thing you can do, he'd have your attention. Amen? When you open the Word of God, and this, make no mistake, this is a book of life. But when you open this book, you will find that it is also a book of death. It deals with the fact, the moment that we open it, we find out something that we may never have realized before in our youth and in our stupidity, that we are mortal and that we are dying. The moment that we begin to read the Word of God, we see in the book of Genesis, if you eat of that fruit, thou shalt surely die. We come face to face with our own mortality. But the wonderful thing about the Word of God is, not only does it reveal to us that we are dying, it sits there before us and it says, "I've got some bad news for you. It's terminal. But there is something you can do." And it has our attention. And that one thing that we can do is confess our sins and accept the work of Jesus Christ, who has died in our place. And that's great news. That's wonderful news. But we have to deal with the idea that we're dying before we can deal and come to terms with the fact that we can have life. And so he said, "I want you to deal bountifully with me. I am your servant. And I want to be a good servant, because I want to live and keep thy word." There is a desire in the heart of every Christian to keep the Word of God. We may struggle. We may have our moments. We may have our faults and we may have our weaknesses, but there is a desire. If you are truly saved, there is a desire in your heart to keep the Word of God. But even more than that, there should be a desire in our hearts to live the Word of God. And as a good servant, we want to both live it and keep it. Now, what's the difference? What's the difference between living the Word of God and keeping the Word of God? If I am a servant and you are my master, you tell me what to do. Now, I am compelled to do what you tell me to do because you own me. I am not just a servant, I am a slave. You tell me what to do, I have to do it. That's keeping your word. But when I love you as your servant, if I honor and respect you and you treat me well, and we have a good relationship, it isn't just keeping the word. I desire to live it because I want to be a good servant. It isn't enough to me that I keep it. I want to live it. And the importance of being in the Word of God every day, in spite of how busy we are, the time that we spend in the Word of God every day will dictate whether or not we are a good servant, a so-so servant, or a very poor servant. He said, "I want to live and keep your word." Verse 18. "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." The second thing that we find that we are as Christians, we are students. The world is our classroom. And some days it can be a very difficult classroom. One thing that most of us remember is those dreaded days when we walked into class, we sat down half asleep, and the teacher said, "Put away your books, we're going to have a pop quiz." One thing about life, and I don't know how many times we have joked and you've heard people say, "Well, I went to the school of hard knocks." This whole planet and the life that we live is a classroom. We are in the process of learning something new every day about ourselves, about those around us, about the God that we serve, and about what He expects from us. We have good days and we have bad days. And we're going to have days when we have pop quizzes. We're going to be tested. Some of those tests will turn out very well. Some of those tests will turn out to be a nightmare. And every day when we get out of bed and we begin our day, we never know what the test of that day is going to bring. We don't know if when we reach the end of that day, if we're going to be praising God with a smile on our face or if we're going to be on our knees before God with tears in our eyes. Because this is a constant classroom and we are the students. He said, I want you to open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. This is our textbook. And God tests us out of what we have learned in this textbook from time to time, doesn't he? Sometimes we do very well on those tests, and sometimes we don't do very well at all. If we look at the textbook and the size of it and the thickness of it, and we say, gee, I've got to learn that whole thing. If we try to do it all right now, we're going to go on overload and we're going to shut down. It would be the same thing that if you were a fifth grader and you walked into your class and the history teacher gave you a textbook that thick and said, learn it tonight. You'd say, it's impossible. I can't learn it tonight. And you wouldn't learn it in one night. Even if you could, if it was possible to read the whole thing, you couldn't learn it in one night. You won't learn this book in one night either, and that's why we have classes every day of our lives, and that's why it's so important to be in the Word of God and to have that time of devotion, because this is a book that you learn day in and day out, and as you learn it, you begin to live it. It is a unique relationship that we have with our God, and this book is a living book. It is the living Word of God, and it has a lot of different lessons for us as we begin and as we continue our service with God. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold. The word behold means I want to rivet my eyes on, I want to focus completely on the wondrous things out of thy law. It's not a glance. It's not something that we simply just look at and dismiss. He said, I want to behold. I want to focus clearly on the wondrous things out of thy law. We remember in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, that wonderful passage of Scripture that we read at Christmas time. When we speak about the names of the coming Messiah, he shall be called, what? Wonderful. And here we see, I want to be focused on the wondrous things out of thy law, or out of thy word. One of the most wonderful things that you're going to come face to face with in the pages of this book is the Son of God. The necessity of knowing Him, His love and His grace, His compassion, His long-suffering towards you, the sacrifice that He made for you, it's all in these pages. It's a wondrous thing. And so we find that we are servants, we are students, and in verse 19 he says, I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. So thirdly, we find that we are strangers in the earth. It's difficult because this earth is all we have ever known. It's not until we begin to study the Word of God and as we spend time day in and day out and as we commit to memory some of these verses and commit to our life and the way we live our life, based upon these verses, that we come to the realization that we are not citizens of this earth anymore. The things that used to make us happy and the things that we used to be involved in suddenly have very little interest to us now. The places that we used to go don't hold the same mystery and wonder that they used to. Now, everything has changed. The way we think has changed. The important things in our lives have changed. And we begin to look at the Word of God and we begin to understand who we are and how much God loved us and what He has done to provide a way for us to become His children. And so our citizenship begins to change. We are not of this world. We are not of this earth. We are strangers here. We're just passing through. Our citizenship is not here. It is somewhere else. It is quite a startling statement for a person to look at this and realize that he is a stranger in the earth. because the earth is all we've ever known. The life that we are living is all we've ever known about life. Until we get into this book and we begin to realize that there's a lot more to life than what we ever knew. There's a lot more to our life than what we ever knew. We didn't just happen, we're a created being. And we're not just created, we're created the way God wanted us created. But unfortunately, sin entered the picture. And so there is a fault, there is a corruption that has entered into us. And when we get that corruption taken care of, when we enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, and when we find that that part of our lives now has been healed, and we are whole and been redeemed with God, we come to the realization that this isn't really home after all. And our citizenship is not here after all. There's something far better. And as we look through the pages of this book, we understand that heaven is about a person. It's about God. It's about Christ. And we understand that the relationship that we have with that person will determine where we spend eternity. And we look forward to the day when we can go to be with Jesus Christ. We have a new home waiting for us someday. I am glad today that I am a stranger in this earth, but my name is known in heaven. It's hard for me to believe. Knowing my background and knowing where I came from, you people don't know my background the way I do. But perhaps if I knew your background, I'd say the same thing about you. Isn't it wonderful to know that our names are known in heaven? That we're on the citizenship rolls of a far greater place than this earth, and no matter what is thrown at us, no matter what comes at us, no matter what the test is today, the Savior walks with us, and we belong to Him. I'm a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. Just as Israel in the wilderness, the Lord led Israel with a cloud and then with a pillar of fire at night. Today He leads His people and the church with the Word of God and the Son of God. I'm a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments. One thing that we understand in a hurry when we become Christians is that we need guidance. There is a whole new life that now lays before us, and we have to determine just how we're going to live that life in order to please God. So, we need a moral compass. We need something that will dictate to us and solidify before us what is acceptable and what is not acceptable in the eyes of God. And here's the textbook. Once again, we are students, and it is important for us to learn as we make our way through this strange world that we find ourselves in. We're servants, we're students, and we're strangers. Now look at verse 20. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. We are a needy people. And so I suppose we could look at this and we could say that we are sufferers. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. There is a part of us that we didn't even know about. I lived most of my life with no idea that I had a soul that was eternal. I was well into my 20s before I realized that I was a sinner and that I was going to hell, and that if I didn't accept Christ, that there was no hope for me at all. I didn't know I had a soul. I didn't know that I was an eternal being. But once you get into the Word of God, you find out these wondrous things. That I was created in the image of God. My life certainly didn't reflect it, but I had an eternal part of me that was crying out to be reunited with the God that created it. Now the flesh wasn't crying out. The flesh was enjoying itself. But the soul inside was crying because it was separated from the God that had created it. And once we come to that realization that we are sinners and we cry out to God and we make things right with God and we are redeemed to God, it says, my soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. There is a thirst that is opened up in us. I know it, this is the way it was with me. When I got saved, there was a tremendous hunger and a thirst to know the God that had saved me. I wanted to know everything there was about Jesus Christ. I wanted to know everything there was about this book. I was entranced by it. I was captivated by it. And I couldn't learn enough about it. The Spirit of God placed within me a tremendous hunger. So I can appreciate what He's saying here. He says, "My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times." There was a tremendous desire to know the Lord, to live for the Lord, to know everything about Him. And so we find in these four things that we are servants, we are in a classroom, we are constantly learning, we are strangers, thank God, we are citizens of heaven tonight, and that this earth has very little for us except suffering. We're suffering because we're separated from the God that we want to be with, but at the same time, there are other reasons why Christians suffer. The moment that you accept Christ as your Savior, you become an enemy of the prince of this world. His name is Satan. He never liked you in the first place because every time he looked at you, he was reminded of the fact that you were made in the image of God. But now you have pledged an allegiance to the Lord God Almighty. You have been redeemed and God now has taken you in His family and Satan despises you even more. And it is his desire to destroy the people of God. So not only does our soul long for the day that we will come into the presence of Jesus Christ, but it longs for the day that we will be removed from the temptations and from the attacks of Satan upon us. Why do we suffer? Because in verse 21, "Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments." Last week I gave you a little paper and told you to think about who may have written this psalm. And it compared David with Jeremiah because there are a number of people who believe both ways, that David wrote it and others believe that Jeremiah may have written it. But whoever wrote it certainly understood the dangers of being a Christian in a world that despises Christians. He said, "Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments." Whoever this was, if it was David or whether it was Jeremiah, both of these men spoke out against sin. Both of them felt the sting of the attack of that. And we have here, whoever wrote it was rebuked. And in turn, they ask that God rebukes the proud, because the proud are cursed. And they err from the commandments of God. Pride is something that God absolutely despises. The proud are arrogant. The proud say that they don't need God. The proud say they are their own masters. The proud says, "This book cannot be trusted." They know, and their wisdom is far greater than the pages of this book. The proud looks in the mirror and says, "All there is to life is what we're living. We don't need to fear God. We don't need to fear hell. We don't need to fear that there may be a heaven or that judgment's coming. I am the master of my own destiny." But those who have tasted of the grace of God, those who have sat at the feet of the Savior, those who have walked to the cross, they know the glory of knowing Christ. They know that they are sinners, no question. And he cries out, "Remove from me reproach and contempt," verse 22. Reproach means that he has been discredited. Someone has called him a liar. We know that that's the case with Jeremiah. He was surrounded by false prophets who called him a liar. Even the king claimed that he was a liar, wanted nothing to do with him. And Jeremiah was heartbroken. Tears weeping openly before God. He preached and he taught and he begged and he pleaded with the people, but they would not listen. They called him a liar. Remove from me reproach and contempt. The word contempt means hatred. Not only was he discredited, but he was hated for what he represented. Today, in the world in which we live, if a Christian is a good servant, if a Christian is absolutely intent on living a godly life, not trying to cover up who he is or who she is, I'm not saying that you have to go out on Main Street with a placard and say that everyone's going to hell. I'm just saying that a person who is genuine in their faith and lives for Jesus Christ, where they work in the workplace, they're honest before their peers and they do a day's work for a day's wages, and they witness for the Lord and they speak about the Lord and they do everything that this book tells us to do, you're going to find that you have a lot of enemies. Because people do not want to hear what you have to say. They're not interested in the knowledge that you possess about Jesus Christ. They don't want to hear that they are sinners. They're looking for someone that will come up alongside of them and tell them that everything is going to be all right and that what they are doing is perfectly acceptable. We live in a day and age in which if you dare to say that this book is absolutely true and you have the boldness to say that it does not matter what the laws of the land say, the Bible says you're going to have enemies. A lot of enemies. Whoever wrote this psalm lived in such a day as we live today. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. He said, I didn't do anything other than to be a good servant. He said, I kept your testimonies. That's what you told me to do, but I've been hated for it. I've been called a liar and I've been discredited simply because I did what you asked me to do. Verse 23 says, princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Whoever this was, whether it was David, and of course David as king, he had many other people who were in authority in other parts of the land, people that he had conquered, and also people that he was involved in communication with. They didn't always agree with David, didn't always agree with what he had to do, what he had to say. We also know that Jeremiah had five different kings that he had conversed with. And most, if not all of them, didn't like him, didn't like what he had to say. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. How different. These people were passing judgment upon him and they were sitting against him because they thought they had authority. What does he do? He sits down with the Word of God and with the Lord of this universe and he goes to the true authority. And it's so easy when we are attacked to attack back. It's so easy, and that is the natural inclination of the natural man, to strike back. When someone says something against you or hurts you or your family, you want to attack. You want to reply. You want to get back at them. But really, the only thing that we can do is to go to the one who has the true authority and let him plead our case for us. These men thought they had authority and they flaunted it by bringing judgment against the psalmist. But he said, all I did was I sat down and meditated in the Word of God. I found comfort. I found comfort and I found a friend in the Word of God. He said, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors in times of trouble and in times of heartache. He said, I found delight in the Word of God. It's amazing how many people will tell you, I can't understand the Bible. To me, it's boring. I can't get anything out of it. But when a person comes to Christ, and the Spirit of God begins to move in that heart, suddenly that book that was so boring, and you couldn't make sense, heads or tails, suddenly begins to capture your imagination and begins to make an awful lot of sense. And it's all under the guidance of the Spirit of God, and the Word of God becomes our delight and our counselors. We go back to that verse again, where it speaks of His name shall be called Wonderful. What was the second thing? Counselor. Once again, we come to the greatest source of wisdom in the world, the Lord God. Why would we want to get our counsel anywhere else? Why would we pursue counseling from any other source than the Word of God? Because everything about us and everything we need to know is in this book. Think about it. Every problem you face in your life is covered and handled in this book. Now, you're not going to know the answers overnight. That's why it's important that you have a devotion every day. Every day you spend time in the Word of God, and you accumulate knowledge over a period of time. God never expected us, the moment that we got saved, to memorize the book. But He does expect us, over the course of the time that we are serving Him, to understand and to get into the Word of God, that we might be good servants and that we might understand His will for our lives. And we accumulate knowledge over a long period of time. And the more we know, the more God expects from us. Because we know what He wants us to do. And so, the next time that you're in a hurry and you can't find time, just remember the verses here, because it is absolutely essential that we take the time every day to go off by ourselves. No matter how busy we are, we can't afford not to take some time. We need to take time with the Lord so that He can teach us, show us His will, prepare us for the classroom of that day, and that we might be in the will of God. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we just pray tonight that You would bless this study that we have just had. I pray that as we take these verses and as we apply them and as we take the knowledge that we have learned here tonight and as we meditate on these things, God, I pray that You would enrich our lives and help us to understand the importance of daily devotionals. We pray now as we go to our prayer time, Father, that You would bless greatly in our midst, that You would hear the petitions of our hearts, and we give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen.